జయం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తు వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం. త్రిలా ప్రవిష్ట ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తు సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంతపొడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నమాచార్యశీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరి భక్తవృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరిగోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామకి మాయపూర్ ధామకి మధురపురి ధామకి జగన్నాథపురి ధామకి ద్వారకాపురి ధామకి గంగమాయకి యమునమాయకి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్స్ ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్స్ ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్స్ ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అని శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ శ్రీ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నమస్తే సరస్వతి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నో విశేషుని వారి పాశాది దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం నీలమాం కరుణానిధే శ్రీమద్భాగవతాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణదేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సదా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం భవ కేశవాన్ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా గురుషదేవేషా మాతస్తన్నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం వరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయా ఇతరతస్ అర్థేష్ విజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదాయ ఆదికవే ముహ్యంత్ సూరయా తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజిర కైదవోత్ర పరమో నమత్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివతం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వావరైశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణాన్ నిగమకల్పతరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుభముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుతం పిపద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుకాః సచ్చిదానంద రూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజందం హనువేదమవేదకృత్యం వైపాయనో విరహకాదరమాంచుభావ పుత్రేతి తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదుఃఖం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమతిథిదేశదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తమ వ్యాససూరముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్యం నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తపో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకొణిదాదృదాననిందోః మమ వాజి విజృంభనా మురారే మధురిన్నా కనికాభి కాభి కాభి. నమః ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ
कृष्णप्रसाय भूतरे श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्यादेशकारिणे श्रीमती गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणाम् आदरेणुमभीष्टशा व्यासं हरिगतो गीतं पुनाहि भुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमानवे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदरी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायम् अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वाताळेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि कोमलं पूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारग वेदवेद्यवरं ब्रह्म वासदाम्बुरदो मम मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयदे गिरिं यत्कृपादमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमर्यादयाय नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द
Last Sunday, we were discussing from Ekadasha Skandam, Canto 11, Chapter 11, where Uddhava asks this, Uddhava's questions were answered by Krishna. Krishna says to Uddhava, Bendo mukta iti vyakhya gunado me namastuda gunasya maya mulatval name moksho nabandhanam. Krishna says to Uddhava that bandham and muktam, mukti, that means bondage and liberation, have come from three modes of material nature. That is the cause of the bondage and liberation. Krishna says, and these three modes of material nature are the products of Maya, are the products of Maya. Because Maya is not a Maya is not something we can define very clearly. Nobody knows how to describe Maya. Therefore, Krishna says, actually Maya is not something real. It is an illusion, as they call it. So because it's an illusion, bondage and liberation is also an illusion as far as Krishna is concerned. Because they are the products of the three modes of nature, and the three modes of nature has come from Maya, Krishna is saying there bondage and the liberation is also a illusion. Actually, they don't exist. This same question, we mentioned this also before, that was asked by Vidura to Maitreya Maharshi. Isn't it? Vidura asked Maitreya the same thing. And in answer to that, Maitreya Maharshi also explained to Vidura that he was saying that Yatha Jale Chandramasa, if you remember in the third canto, Yatha jale chandramasa kambadi talkrudo guna drishyate asannapi drashto almano analmano guna. That yatha jale chandramasa, just like the moon reflects in the water. When the moon reflects in the water, when the water moves or anything that happens to water, the contamination or impurities in the water, it will have an impact on the moon as well. Similarly, when the water moves, the moon also seems to move. Similarly, the condition, the soul, which has
which has born, with all the soul which has, which is in the conditioned form inside the body, also experiences all the activities of the body in relationship with the soul. That is how this relationship has come with the soul and the body. When the soul is conditioned by the modes of material nature, that all the dharmam, sharira dharma means like what we experience for the body, just like hunger, thirst, and also happiness, distress, old age, death, all these things seems to happen to the soul. Because the origin of the soul is like that. The soul within the body has born in that way. That ahankaram or false ego was the origin, isn't it? The false ego was the origin. So from the sushma, from the causal body or karana shariram, when it has come to the subtle body, it also acquired the mind. And from then on, it came down to the gross body, when it acquired the gross body. When it came to the gross body, it acquired all the senses and it completed its growth. So, in the gross body, when the soul is embodied in that condition, it experiences different conditioning. It experiences different conditioning. As and when it is in contact with the modes of nature, it will experience happiness, distress, everything that is a product of material nature. So when it is experiencing the different products of material nature, it appears to us that the soul is experiencing that. In reality, Krishna is saying soul has nothing to do with that. So this is what is known as the effect of Maya. Maya's influence on us is such that everything what is happening in the material nature has an impact on us. And we tend to think it is happening to us, although we are not different from the body. That's what Krishna was talking, Maitreya Maharshi was saying this. Jale pradibimbadasseva chandramasaha talkraha kambadi asan api yatha drishyade tatha anatmana gunadrashtu atmana eva drishyade. Then everything, this is known as ubhadi. Ubhadi means all this conditioning, all the conditioning that has happened. Mind, senses, intelligence, they are all upadis on the soul. They are all on the upadis on the soul. So anything that happens to senses, anything that happens to the mind or intelligence, all of them has an influence on the person, on the conditioned soul. It appears like that, but it has no influence on Krishna, on the super soul in any way. So what is the way to come out of this? He explains here. Maitreya Maharshi says this to Vidura, the only way you can come out of this, savai nivritti dharmena vasudevanu kambaya bhagaval bhakti yogena tirodhate shanairiha. That will come savai nivritti dharmena. Nivritti dharma means there is two things, nivritti and pravritti, isn't it? Nivritti means the activities meant for to come out of material existence. By executing such activities, one gets released from this conditioning, from material existence. That is called Nivritti Dharma. Pravritti Dharma means those activities which binds us more into material life, into the material nature. So Pravritti and Nivritti. So here he says here, Savai Nivritti Dharmena Vasudevanu Kambaya. By two things, by executing those activities meant for Nivritti, for the release, and also by the mercy of Krishna, by Bhagavad Vasudevanu Kambaya. Bhagaval Bhakti Yogena, when one develops proper devotion or bhakti for Krishna, automatically with that bhakti this will happen. Mercy will come from Krishna. Little by little he gets released from that. Shanai means slowly. It happens in a very slow pace, depending on the according to one's sadhana. When one executes very intense sadhana, he gets the results also faster. But when he executes very slowly, he goes, in due course of time, things will happen for him also. So when will the complete release will happen? He says here, Yadendriya paramo tha drashtalpani pare haro viliyande tada klesha samsuptasyevatal krils nashaha. Then, drashtalpani pare harau yada indriyoparamaha bhavati. when one's senses have completely withdrawn and is completely absorbed in Krishna, who is the super soul of everyone, drashtalpani pareharo yada indriyovarama bhavati, and at that time, for him, one who has gone into deep sleep state, when one goes into deep sleep state, he does not experience any more the problems with the mind or problems with the senses, isn't it? He's completely released from the mind and the senses. Similarly, all the distress what he is experiencing here will completely go away for him at that stage. Atha tada samsuptasya iva klesha krishnasha viliyande. That is the stage when that happens. That is Maitreya Maharshi's reply to Vidura. That, and then he said that executing bhakti, executing Krishna consciousness, that one can release oneself from all kinds of distresses. Ashesha samklesha shamam vidhatte gunanuvada shravanam murare kuda punastha charanaravindam paraga seva aradiralpalabdhaham. That asesha samklesha shamam vidhatte, continuously hearing about Krishna and glorifying Krishna all the time, and it destroys all distresses. What to talk about one whose mind is completely attached to Krishna's lotus feet? This was the question from Maitreya Maharshi to Vidura. So in other words, Maitreya Maharshi was explaining to Vidura that this bondage and liberation, that how that happens, and he gave this example of the moon reflecting in the water, and how the soul, similarly, when the soul is nothing but a reflection of Krishna's reflection in the chitta, in the subtle body. So that's when the distress begins. That avidya is the nature. Avidya means ignorance, is the cause of that. With that ignorance it has developed, and with the development of that ignorance we got conditioned, we engaged in avidya kama karmavi, desires came up. With the result of ignorance, desires have come up. When material desires came, we engaged in more activities, in material activities. When we engage in more material activities, it created more vasanas in us, karma vasanas in us, or propensities. And that in turn generated more material bodies for us. So in this way, for several lifetimes, we were absorbed in these activities. The result of that was that we have to accept the strong conditioning which is affecting our spiritual life. So release from this conditioning is known as liberation, or when one gets released from the conditioning of the mind and the senses. So Maitreya Maharshi mentioned this to Vidura, and from Vidura after that continues in the third canto further questioning about that. We will not go into that, because in canto 11 it is the same topic. Uddhava has been asking Krishna also about it. So Krishna's answer was that bandho mukta iti vyakhya gunado me na vastuda gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam, Krishna said. So we will go back to canto 11 now. There what we were saying was that the shogam, moham, sukham, dukham, many things Krishna mentioned there, isn't it? What did he say? Shogam, moham, sukham, dukham, dehabatischa mayaya. Second verse in the chapter 11. He says here, shogam, moham, sukham, dukham, dehabatischa mayaya. Swapnam yadatmana khyadi samsadir natu vastavi. Krishna said so much. As I mentioned before, that in this chapter 11, what Krishna has spoken is all from an absolute platform. From an absolute platform. So to understand this and to realize this is difficult. Is difficult. And in our conditioned state, it becomes much more difficult because of the absolute nature of Krishna's statements here. Krishna has spoken something, and we have also seen before that the soul has a relationship with Krishna. Soul has a relationship. We are part and parcel of Krishna. So when we talked about this, we mentioned before that in what stage we are in our spiritual life, accordingly our relationship with Krishna can change. In our relationship with Krishna can change. That is why, from which angle you are observing your relationship with Krishna, accordingly the relationship also will make a difference. For example, as I mentioned before, that Anjaneya Swami, Hanumanji, says this to Ramachandra, that when I am on the completely on the bodily concept of life, Deha Buddhyastu Dasoham, Anjaneya Swami says, I am your servant. I am your servant. Deha Buddhyastu Dasoham. In fact, all of us are in that situation. Deha Buddhi. Deha Buddhi means when we are completely under the control of the bodily concept of life, we have to understand that we are Krishna's servant. We cannot think in any other way. That will be wrong to think. That so long as one is in the bodily concept of life, he is a servant of Krishna. It is no point in saying that I am soul, I am Brahman and all that. That will simply disturb others. That's a demonic statement in that way. When one is in the bodily concept of life, till he gets released from that bodily concept of life, he has to always think that he is a servant of Krishna. And that is why this relationship is very important, especially in spiritual life. From the very beginning, this is the mood of a devotee, that he never thinks that he in terms that he is one with Krishna. Why? Because in that conditioned state, he is very much absorbed in the body. He is not released from the body. And when one is under the control of the bodily identity, so long as he is under the control of the bodily identity, he has to recognize that he is a part of Krishna. At the same time, and recognizing that he is a part of Krishna, recognizing that he is in bondage, recognizing that he is under the modes of the material nature, recognizing the need to cultivate knowledge and renunciation, he has to execute the bhakti process within that situation. He should not in the bodily concept of life think that I am one with Krishna. That will be very demoniac to think like that. As long as one is under the bodily concept of life, which we all are, till Maya releases us from that stage, we have to execute bhakti, Krishna consciousness, fully recognizing that jnanam and vairagyam, knowledge and renunciation, should be cultivated. And at the same time, one should also recognize the bondage. There is no point in reading Ekadasha Skandam and started thinking, Stravi, I am liberated now because I am not under the influence of Maya anymore, because these things don't exist really. That bondage and liberation doesn't exist, as Krishna says here. So once we read this and start thinking and there is no bondage, there is no liberation, that will be wrong. What Krishna is saying here is that within the framework, when being the bodily concept of life, one must recognize this, that I am Krishna's servant. Why? Only in that process one can execute bhakti, Krishna consciousness. So recognizing this, recognizing the need for renunciation and knowledge, recognizing the bondage, one should follow the principles very strongly and execute a spiritual sadhana very strongly, up to a stage when Maya slowly releases us from that state of bodily concept of life. As we follow progress like that, at some point in time one will know oneself, he will know that this thing called body is not my true identity. On the other hand, he will also realize that I am something different than the body. That is the time when one becomes a jiva, conditioning of jiva. And that is the state where here Anjaneya Swami says to Ramachandra that jiva buddhyal to damshaga. When I am jiva in that state, sometimes in the bodily concept of life, sometimes as in the spiritual platform, halfway between this and that. So when that happens, jiva buddhyal tad amshaga, he is realizing that I am not this body anymore, but some understanding has come to him due to what? Due to executing the sadhana for a long period of time. By chanting the holy name, by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, by hearing about Krishna, by taking Krishna Prasadam, by serving the deity. In this way, gradually this realization will come. That is when he realizes that I am not this, after living in this body for quite a long time, experiencing the happinesses and distress that comes to us within this body, slowly the conditioned soul, the individual starts reflecting on things. And he comes to understand that I am something different than this body. That is the state of jivahood. He becomes a jiva at that time. And the jiva in that state sometimes feel completely controlled by the body, sometimes he feel completely freed from the body. Both things happens to him. At the time when he is freed from the body, he feels some connection with Krishna. And he enjoys that relationship. This is all due to executing bhakti process. During the process of executing bhakti, all these things will happen. That in that process, he will feel some connection with Krishna. And at that time, he will feel some happiness. That is spiritual happiness. But that won't last very long. He will come back again, back to the bodily concept of life. This state of existence of the soul is called a jiva. Jiva state of consciousness is like that. Sometimes with the body, sometimes with Krishna. In between state. And that is what he said here. Jiva buddhyal todamshaga. I am your part and parcel at that time. Jiva buddhyal todamshaga. And then when one executes that for a very long, continuously for a long period of time, that he will understand. In Bhagavad Gita, this relationship is explained. In Bhagavad Gita, there is provision for everything. The provision for as a servant, serving Krishna. As a provision, as a part and parcel, as jiva. And later on, as the oneness of with Krishna as well. So, in this relationship with Krishna, as a part and parcel is what that verse says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loge Jiva Bhuta Sanadana Mana Shashtani Indriyani Prakritisthani Karshadi. That is that stage when jiva experiences that. And when this continues for a long time as a jiva, he practices his spiritual life for a long period of time, that eventually he realizes that I am not this body. And he comes to the higher platform, I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this senses, I'm not this intelligence, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman. That stage comes to him at a later date. So, Atma Buddhya Tomevaham, it is only at that state when one has freed oneself from the conditioning of the mind, intelligence, senses, everything. When one is released from all that, Alpa Buddhi is in a state of liberated state, Alpa Buddhi, Tomevaham. At that time he can see his connection with Krishna properly. So here, what was spoken here, that Krishna is trying to explain to us that Bando Muktam Idik Vyakya Gunato Me Navastuda. How is that? One can only think about these things at that stage, whether he is in bondage or whether he is in liberation. That because after all, as you know, sattvam, rajasa and tamasa, the three modes of material nature, according to their increase and decrease, this bondage and liberation can also change. That gunasya maya mulatval. Maya mulatval, because of maya and because of the three modes of nature, this is happening. That while dreaming, however real you may feel about the dream, actually it's only a dream, isn't it? Actually, it's only a dream. While dreaming, although you may really experience the miseries of the dream or the happiness of the dream, just like we mentioned this example, Bhagavatam also gives the same example, that when you see the rope as a snake, what normally happens is, at the moment when you are seeing it as a snake, it is reality. But when you change, when you come to someone brings a torch and shows it to you that it is not a snake, it's a rope, immediately you come to your senses and you see it as a rope. The rope didn't become a snake, but you, for yourself, you have experienced it as you experienced that as a snake at that point. Similarly, Krishna is saying here that shogam, moham, sukham, dukkham. The second verse. Shogam means distress. Moham means lamentation for different things. Sukham, dukkham, happiness and distress. Deha patischa maya. Maya has generated this body, along with that all these different kinds of conditioning for the body. That has all come in the material body. Sapno yathatmana khyadi. How you experience in the dream, what you are experiencing in the dream, how you experience it as real. Krishna is saying here, samsradir nadu vastavi. What actually you are experiencing in this world is also not a reality. That is Krishna's opinion. It's not a reality. So, in Jagrat Avastha or in the vacant state, which we take it as reality, according to Krishna, it is as much as an unreal thing, like the dream, what we have experienced in the sleep. Therefore, name mokshanu bandhanam. I am situated in everyone's heart as Andaryami, as the soul inside everyone. I don't have any bondage, nor do I have any liberation either. This is what Krishna is saying there. So, one who starts reflecting on this, then who is in bondage, isn't it? Who is in bondage and who is in liberation? That's why I said, shoga moha sukho dukkham deha batischa maya sapno yathalpana khyadi samsardir nadu vastavi. That when one continuously reflect on these things, at some point he will realize that eventually the difference between the body and the soul will come to him. The difference between the body and the soul will come to him. We've discussed this before, that the question will come whether the seed was there first or the tree was there first. The tree has come from the seed and the seed has come from the tree. So who has come first? This question will come, isn't it? In Sankhya philosophy, it comes and stops at that point. That both the seed and the tree, both are reality, both exist. So, but who came first? This question always remains. Just like from the seed of a huge banyan tree, Krishna has packed another huge banyan tree within that one seed. Isn't it? If you take the seed of a banyan tree, which is very, very small, the fruit of a banyan tree is almost the size of a golf ball. If you break that size of the golf ball, you will find hundreds of seeds inside. And by planting one of that seeds, a huge banyan tree can come out from that. That is what we see in this world, isn't it, practically? So if that's happening, what does it mean? It means that the small seed inside that fruit of the banyan tree has the potency to grow of a big, huge banyan tree. Why does that happen? Because of Krishna's way, Krishna has created this. So the seed and the tree, the gross form of the tree and this very subtle form of the seed, they are connected to each other. Both are complementing one another. Isn't it? It comes to a certain point at that time, but on reflection you can see that the seed and the tree, they have both come from the earth. They have both come from the earth. It goes back to earth again. It goes back to earth again. So, here we have to know that the up to that point, that the same earth we have seen as the tree as well as the seed in two forms, in two different forms. Up to this point, everyone is in the same, everybody can understand this, up to this point. It's the same problem with our body also. We have come to this point where we recognize that there is a body and there is a soul. You come to that situation, there is a body and there is a soul. So, we can say to others that the... We can talk to others about this differentiation between the body and the soul. That at that point, we still don't have the experience of liberation. This is where the difficulty is. And all the distress of the body, one who has this knowledge or one who doesn't have the knowledge equally affects them, isn't it? Just like diseases, he is affected by that. One who knows this difference between the body and the soul, he is still affected by that, of the diseases what comes to the body. Similarly, someone who is very close, he leaves this world, he feels a separation very much as a person who does not know the difference between the body and the soul. So although by discrimination and by cultivating spiritual understanding, he has come to this platform of the body and the soul, still he has not crossed the boundary. Still he has not crossed the boundary. That is the injunction of the Vedas. You come to this platform and most everyone is stuck there. We can't move further from there. But at some point, by exuding Krishna consciousness, and when our intense sadhana and our intense austerities and spiritual life becomes perfect, at that point the soul leaves from this body and it gets released from it once for all. And when the soul gets in contact with the absolute truth, in other words, when it is released from the bodily concept of life completely, and when it's released from that, when it looks back, it sees this body, what he has been identifying with, is not a reality anymore for him, for that soul who has been released from the bodily identity. This is the final stage, that is the break-even point, when you completely get out of it. Up to that point, there is no difference between an ordinary person and the person executing spiritual life. The person executing spiritual life will know that he is different than the body. He knows that. But all the miseries of material life, he has to accept also at that time, during this stage. He has to accept all the material miseries also. Birth, death, old age, disease, happiness, distress, hunger, thirst, shadurmi they call it, jara, old age, disease, death, everything he also experienced as much as an ordinary person is experiencing. But up to this point, just like I mentioned, the tree and the seed, when we understand that it has come from the earth was the origin. Similarly, the soul and the body, the soul gets released from this bondage once for all and comes to its pure identity in the spiritual world, in whatever way it is, it doesn't matter. When it enters into the spiritual world, then it realizes that reality is only spirit soul, nothing else. This body was like a temporary expansion of the tree from the seed. The seed was the subtle form, the tree was the gross form. Similarly, the soul, when it leaves this body and goes back into the spiritual world, into the spiritual realm, it realizes that the existence within the body was like a gross thing that it has acquired while in its process of journey towards the spiritual life. That's the point when he fully recognizes that the material body was not a reality at all. Up to that point, whatever we may say, when Krishna says here, the body is not a real thing, Krishna is saying to us now, isn't it? Samsradir nadu vastavi. Krishna says, shogam moham sukham dukham dehavatischa mayaya sapno yada alpana khyadir samsradir nadu vastavi. The material body is not a reality, Krishna is saying to us. But when Krishna says this to us, we find it very difficult to accept it, isn't it? Somebody says to you, your body is not a reality, will you accept that? you will take it in a different way, isn't it? But somebody hurts you, you will immediately defend yourself from that. So when Krishna says to us, you must understand, when will this realization come? When Krishna says here that samsradir nadu vastavi, is talking from an absolute platform, that when the conditioned soul has gone through all these stages and eventually came to this understanding of the soul and the body and still continued his practice of spiritual life up to the point where is that final release from the control of the body happens to him, At that time, he goes to the spiritual world and goes, looks back and see that this material body was no reality at all. It is at that point he realizes the illusion. He realizes the illusion around the soul. Up to that point, he is very much a part of this illusion. That's what Krishna is talking about. So, then, and this material body is like a dream at that stage. At that time, it's like a dream in this creation. That so many bodies we have accepted in this way. In this way, we have accepted so many bodies. But none of those bodies, we had the opportunity to think about spiritual life. We were busy in building another body for the next life. That's what we have done. And therefore, Krishna says here that this human body is capable of escaping from this changing body's business. This changing body. That business you can stop here and come out of it back to the spiritual world and escape from this. And therefore, it is it is mentioned like that. Okay, when this material body, as long as we have this material body, happiness, distress will be there. Happiness and distress will be there. But at some point in time, when one realizes that this false ego, the mind, the intelligence, the senses, these are called, what did we say? These are called apara prakriti, isn't it? Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhumi rapanalo vayu khammano buddhi revaja ahangara vidiyatma bhinna prakriti rashtada. These eight things Krishna talked about, they are called apara prakriti. Para prakriti is the superior nature, the spiritual nature of the soul. The moment we realize that we are released from apara prakriti or this or this material nature, we have already started experiencing para prakriti. When we are released from the apara prakriti, Krishna says that with that our problem is also solved. Our problems are solved. So the Krishna says here that when we are experiencing in the process of spiritual life, when distress comes to us or when happiness comes to us, if we have learned to understand that it is relationship with the body, then that will help a lot. That will help us a lot. It is an activity of the apara prakriti. That is what Krishna wants us to understand. You will see here that these things like shogam, moham, sukham, dukham, when we experience that, what do we do? Normally, what do? We think, oh, it's such a miserable life. You feel like that, isn't it? Or sometimes you feel everything is going fantastic. So, one way or the other, shogam, moham, sukham, dukham, happiness and distress in all these conditions, if we develop this understanding that these are nothing but the products of Maya, and it is also in relationship with the body, Krishna says here, and it is a part of this dream, what Krishna is talking about. If it is part of the dream, if you accept that, and if you think factually you are beyond than this, you are something different than that, then this miseries will come to an end. Miseries will come to an end, to a large degree. And that is the way to deal with this material world, as far as Krishna is concerned. Because Krishna is talking to us the truth, what it is. And we are finding it difficult because of our relationship with the material world, with the material nature. But Krishna says here that the truth what Krishna has spoken has been repeated by all the great authorities in spiritual life, particularly Vedavyasa Maharshi, Sukadeva Goswami, and so many other great acharyas. They all have spoken exactly the same thing. They have spoken exactly the same thing. And the reason they have spoken like that is that those who have come to spiritual life, this is the process for them to free themselves from this situation. There is no need for Vedavyas and Sukadeva Goswami and the Acharyas to tell us some lie. There is no need for that, for them. There is no need for them to tell us any lies. You don't need to trust. If you simply put your faith in Krishna's words and execute spiritual life in that way, Krishna says here that at some point in time we will go through these different stages and eventually it will lead into liberation. That is what he told about in the next verse, isn't it? Vidya and avidya, Krishna spoke about that. Vidya vidye mamadanu vidyuddhava sharirinam mokshabandhagari madhye mayayame vinirmite. Vidya vidye mamadanu. Vidya and avidya, Krishna says there, vidya and avidya, if you take the shelter of vidya, this is what is called vidya. This knowledge that accepting Krishna's words without any doubt about it and dealing with material life in that way, slowly, that is called vidya. The accepting things, like way Krishna has explained, that when we experience the happiness and distress of this world, if one accepts it completely as knowledge, through knowledge, if one deals with that, with the proper knowledge, in course of time, he will realize it, that the material life is nothing but not a reality. It's not actually a reality. That will come at a stage when one is advanced in spiritual life. It won't happen to him on day one. It happens due to continuous practice of spiritual life, by executing the process properly, chanting the holy name, reflecting on the philosophy what Krishna has spoken to us in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, constantly remembering this. And when the principles what Krishna has spoken and the person who is following this process, when they become one, that's when the results will come. They have to become one at some point. It should not remain as some intellectual platform. All that what has been studied from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, it should become one with the person. The person should become that. It is at that point one experiences all these things what Krishna has spoken here. So, vidya vidya mamatanu vidyuddhava sharirinam. Krishna says here, vidya vidya mamatanu. Vidya and avidya are both products of maya. While being in maya, how to free oneself from the maya, that is what is called vidya. Using maya's potency of vidya, one can release oneself from this bondage. That's what Krishna is talking about. Vidya vidya mamadanu vidyuddhava sharirinam and mokshabandhagari madhya adhye mayayame vinirmideyam. Mokshabandhagari, that moksham and bandham, that means liberation and bondage, is the results of vidya and avidya, and both have come from maya. That's what Krishna is saying there. Now, here, something important to understand. While we are discussing all these things, many people will think it is impossible to do this, isn't it? It's impossible to develop this, practically to execute this in one's life, this knowledge. How to develop that into one's own life practically? This is the process what is spoken for the jnanis. Jnanis follow this process. It's the same thing when it comes to a devotee. He offers everything to Krishna and leaves it to Krishna. By his surrender to Krishna and by Krishna's causeless mercy, the same realization can happen to him. That is Krishna's mercy. But then we have to surrender to Krishna. We can't dictate these things to Krishna. Krishna is saying that is bhakti. When one surrenders to Krishna, and one accepts that Krishna is running the show, the ownership, the doership has gone away from a person, and he executes all his activities for Krishna's pleasure, that is the stage proper bhakti comes to him. That is bhakti. So, that leads to bhakti, and all other things Krishna is saying there will not help him. That unless one's karma is pure, that he is willing to surrender everything to Krishna, like Mahabali did, isn't it? Mahabali's story, if you read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see there. Mahabali's surrender was perfect. The perfect surrender. Even after Shukracharya told Mahabali that Vishnu has come to take everything from you. Mahabali's truthfulness and the Brahminical quality in Mahabali was showing. From this you can understand, Brahmana is not something who has taken by birth. Brahmanyanam balistvam. Mahabali is the best of the Brahmanas, it says there. Mahabali is best among the Brahmanas. He is an Asura body. But his consciousness was such, he has the greatest quality of a Brahmana. That he was willing to surrender everything to Krishna. Completely he surrendered everything, and then he surrendered his ego. The last thing he surrendered is ego as well. So first, me and mine. He surrendered everything mine to Krishna, and then he surrendered me, the false ego, also to Krishna. With that, Krishna says, now you are released from this. Go back to Sudalam and stay there. I'll be standing outside as your watchman. That is Krishna's words to Mahabali in the Bhagavatam. If you read in the 8th canto, you will see this. Gajendra did exactly the same thing, isn't it? Narayana Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. When Prarabdha Karma was holding him back in the form of that crocodile, and when he was caught up in that stage, when he realized that all the so-called family, community, friends, relatives and everything was of no use, he realized that the only truth is Krishna and surrendered to him. And due to his previous spiritual activities in the past life in the form of King Indradyumna, brought in the memory of how to remember Krishna and glorify him. That was Krishna's mercy. This is how mercy comes from Krishna. That Krishna accepted Gajendra and gave him this body of same form as Krishna. And he had to go back to the spiritual world in that body. So you can see all the great souls in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they had surrendered to Krishna. It was that surrender, that bhakti, that has created that situation. Here what we are discussing is this, that Jnani's process is what is being spoken about. Jnani's process is very difficult. It is not easy. So whenever we ask this question, how to surrender or how to do things, we have to understand this, that unless we surrender to Krishna, it is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So this surrendering process is important. That is what is stressed here. That while being spoken about this, the same realization what a Jnani achieves at the end, comes to a devotee also. Only difference is that one receives this realization by Krishna's mercy, other receives the realization by very hard endeavor, and obviously by seeing his endeavor, Krishna rewards him that realization at the end. That freedom from the body, Aham Brahmasmi stage comes to him. So, we've spoken about this before, that the two bodies, the two birds sitting on a tree, isn't it? One example we have spoken about this. And we also mentioned that Chaya and Suvarchana, the two wives of the sun planet, the sun god, Vivaswan. He has two wives, Chaya and Suvarchana. From Chaya came these two birds. That is all of us who come from that. One bird is eating the fruit, another bird is just watching. This is the way it is discussed in the Upanishads and the Vedas. And it's the same thing that has come into Srimad Bhagavatam also. That when in that stage, those two verses are spoken later on in the same chapter. And you will see there, Krishna talks about this in the coming verses, that what this relationship is. When we, when Uddhava began this inquiry with Krishna, first thing Uddhava mentioned to Krishna was that Satyasya Dev Sudrasamalpanam Almanunyam Vaktaramesha Vibhadeshavi Nanu Chakshehim Sarve Vimohidadhya Tavamayeme Brahmadaya Stanubrada Bhirata Bhavaha. That Uddhava sees Krishna as the only person who can instruct on spiritual life properly. Why? Uddhava says here, Satyasya de sudrasham almanam almanonyam. As far as Uddhava is concerned, Krishna is a soul, isn't it? Krishna's body is spiritual. Krishna's body is spiritual. In other words, Krishna is situated on a spiritual platform all the time. Always situated on the spiritual platform. In order to talk about the soul, only someone who is situated on a spiritual platform can talk about this. Otherwise it has no meaning. That's the point Uddhava is making here. Vakkaramisha vibhudeshwabi nanu chakshe. Because of that, I don't see anyone else who can talk about the soul as authoritatively as Krishna can. That is the point Uddhava is saying here. To speak authoritatively on the soul, completely on a spiritual platform, the only person who can talk about it is Krishna. That is Uddhava's statement here. Sarve vimohita dhiya tava mayaye me brahmadaya sthanibhrita bhairakta bhavaha. Sarve vimohita dhiya. Everyone is captivated by the illusory energy, material energy. Everybody. That is what Uddhava is saying here. Tava mayaye me brahmadaya sthanibhrita bhairakta bhavaha. What is the symptom of a person who is captivated or who is controlled by material energy? Because his nature is sarve vimohita dhiya. He is completely attracted by the material world. Tanubrade bahirartha bhava sarve vimohita dhiya tava mayaye me. Who else? Brahma dayas tanubrada bahirartha bhava. From Lord Brahma onwards, everyone, Uddhava says, from Lord Brahma onwards, everyone is bahirartha bhava. Their vision is sometimes goes outwardly. Their vision go outside. Someone who can always be situated within himself on a spiritual platform, as far as Uddhava is concerned, it's only Krishna. Nobody else. That is the difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everybody else. 100%, all the time, always situated within the soul. You will see Krishna meditating, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam there is a story. Story means it's a, while Uddhava, Sridhara Maharshi went to see Krishna's daily routine life. How does he conduct himself every day? Krishna gets up early in the morning and meditates. So what's Krishna meditating on? The Supreme Absolute Truth, in order to show it to us, that spiritual reality is a real one. Material reality is not real. Materially we find so many things. This is our ignorance increases. As much as our ignorance increases, our material consciousness also increases. We become materialistic. In other words, when we become more conscious of the soul, or when we are situated within the soul, our spiritual understanding improves and we come closer to the truth. We come closer to the truth. So that's what Krishna is saying here, that if it is like that, that you are always situated in that position, seeing himself as the soul, always, never changes that position. That's Krishna's position, always as the soul. He speaks, he acts, he conducts all the business when he comes here, purely from a spiritual platform, not on a material consciousness at any time. So that is very rare thing, only Krishna can do that. And so therefore Uddhava mentioned this to Krishna, that is it possible to be within this body and to reach that stage? It's a very interesting question, Uddhava's question. That is it possible for us who are embodied in this cage of material body, is it possible for one to come to that state of consciousness, to experience that state of consciousness as the soul? Is it possible? Because first thing we have to recognize that once you are in the three modes of nature, Sattvam, Rajasa and Tamasa, then while being in these three modes, is it possible to stay away from the body? That question will come, isn't it? How to stay away from the body while being under the three modes of material nature? So, when this question raised, Krishna, when Uddhava raised this question to Krishna, Krishna didn't give an answer straightforward. Krishna says, it is possible, yes, and it's not possible, no, he says. That was the answer, as usual, nothing different. It is possible and it's not possible, he said. We must understand why Krishna said like that. There is a reason behind when Krishna said, this is why we find these things are makes the spiritual life very exciting. If everything was a straightforward answer, courses and seminars would have done the job. Why I am saying this It's not to slander anybody or to criticize anyone. That is not the idea behind it. Idea behind it is to understand that spiritual life is not like material knowledge, cultivating material knowledge. It's a different way of life where one's intense sadhana and realizations go hand by hand with what you read in the shastra. It has to go side by side together. Otherwise, it won't have any effect. It won't have any effect. This is why we strongly object. We strongly object when these subjects are taught in the university. It has no meaning. It is only to sit there and speculate about it. When they are not engaged in the practice of spiritual life on a day-to-day basis, following the footsteps of the great authorities who have practiced and showed it to us how to execute spiritual life, it is their footsteps we have to follow. Otherwise, it simply becomes a business. It doesn't mean anything. What is the point in talking about it? When Krishna is telling us, Krishna is giving us the answer like this. It is yes and no. What is the answer? How do we realize this? How do we come out of this situation? So, Shastras are saying to us that if you read, particularly from the Upanishad's point of view, this is much more important. They would not waste their time to educate people in this way. Practice of these things, like in Kathopanishad, you will see this particularly. It is one of the topmost Upanishads. Isha Kena Katha Prasna Unda Mandukya Taittiri is the third Upanishad among the major 10. So in Kathopanishad, you will see Nachiketas, a young boy who goes to see Yamaraja, Yamadharmaraja. And there is a discussion between Yamadharmaraja and Nachiketas going on. And that runs into about 200 verses or something altogether. It's a small Upanishad, but it is one of the topmost Upanishads on which there are very detailed commentaries from all the great acharyas who have written commentaries on this Upanishad. There you will see Nachiketas approach Yama and ask this question about the soul. He wanted to know what happens to the soul after leaving this body. Yama would not reveal the information to him. Because before revealing any information to Nachiketas, Yama wanted to establish this person is qualified to receive this knowledge. That is the first thing. Yamadharmaraja established Nachiketas was qualified to receive transcendental knowledge. Before that, he would not give it to him. So, one whole chapter is talking about this. Yamadharmaraja establishing Nachiketas' qualification to receive transcendental knowledge. He is alluring him, he is offering him various material facilities, material happiness in various forms to him. And Nachiketas is rejecting one after the other, everything. So many opulences he offered him, great happiness in the heavenly planets, and many, many things were offered to him. Nachiketas said, no. I want an answer for this question, he said. He wanted an answer for the question. So he established, Yamadharmaraja, first of all, confirms that Nachiketas is properly qualified to listen, to take these instructions before speaking about that. And in the another canto, Yamadharmaraja talks about the glories of acquiring this knowledge. And at that time he says to Nachiketas, Nachiketas says to him that how does one qualify to receive this? So at that point Yamadharmaraja says to him that this knowledge regarding spirit soul and the soul's transmigration and everything that is related to self-realization is a very transcendental topic. And when one talks about that, with any expectations from others, any kind of expectations from others, that talking about that will be a waste of time as far as Yamadharmaraja is concerned. Kathopanishad and Bhagavad Gita are very closely connected. If you study Kathopanishad, you will find many, many verses in Bhagavad Gita has come from Kathopanishad. Krishna has taken from Kathopanishad and some of them as it is, he has put them in and some of them with minor changes. Some words have changed here and there. But otherwise, it is Kathopanishad that comes in Bhagavad Gita. So you can imagine the importance of Kathopanishad has been written many thousands of years before Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna in the battlefield. So in that Kathopanishad, Madhurma Raja says to Nachiketas that this knowledge, if it is not imparted in this right way, that means the speaker who is talking about it should not have any kind of expectations from the to person whom he is talking to. If there is any expectations, this will be a waste of time. Number one. Number two, if the person who is taking that knowledge from the Shastram through someone, if he is thinking that he can purchase this knowledge by paying some money, he is also an equally fool, he says. That's how it is spoken in the Upanishads. That there should not be any kind of dealings between the speaker, between the teacher and the student in terms of the transmission of the spiritual knowledge. Because if that happens, he wants there, very strictly he wants there, that spiritual knowledge will not develop neither in the speaker nor in the listener. Neither the speaker will develop spiritual understanding nor the listener will understand spirituality, what it means. Imagine what's going on in this world today. So we must also try to understand from the Shastram that this is why Krishna calls it as a confidential knowledge, isn't it? Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam Sasugham Kartum Avyayam. Krishna says it is Raja Vidya. This is not a knowledge you can buy. This is not a knowledge where you can pass the test and get a certificate. This is not a knowledge for that. And this is not a knowledge which you can sell and make money either. It's not meant for, it will not happen in, this is the reason why after so many courses and seminars we are still where we started. Nothing has happened. How can it happen? Because this is the mood we are approaching spiritual life. If you approach with this mentality, it will not have any, it will not help the situation. So Krishna is saying here, and in this particular citizen also, Uddhava is also saying, that look at relationship between Uddhava and Krishna. Uddhava is recognizing, Krishna is not saying, you join this course and I'll tell you everything. No, Uddhava is saying, Krishna is expecting from Uddhava certain things. Krishna recognizes, Uddhava has come to that platform to receive the transcendental knowledge. Therefore, Krishna is speaking to him from that position. There is no any other transaction between Krishna and Uddhava. And you can see the result at the end of Ekadasha what happened. With complete understanding and total realization, Uddhava is moving towards Badrikashram. So this can only happen in that consciousness, if it is done. Otherwise it will not happen. You can waste a whole lifetime doing this. But nothing will happen. So, satyasya de sadrisham almani almanonyam. That to be situated as the soul and to speak from a spiritual platform, vaktara mesha vibhudesha vimanu chakshem. That Vibhadeshwami Nanuchakshi, I can't see anyone else. Uddhava is saying this. Uddhava was very fortunate that Krishna was there. Sarve vimohita dhiya tava mayemi. Everyone is captivated by Maya, isn't it? Vimohita dhiya. They are under this illusion. And they are thinking that I can do this, I can do that. You can't do anything about it. Brahma adayasthani mrido behirartha bhavaham. That from Lord Brahma onwards, this Bahiraktha Bhava. Bahiraktha Bhava means this mind which is completely wandering around, which is captivated by the external energy of Krishna. He is very strongly influencing him. So where is the possibility of realizing the self? That's what Uddhava is asking. Where is the possibility of realizing the self when the mind is so much absorbed in the external energy, or Krishna's external energy? So, from Ekadasha Skandam, when one reads Ekadasha Skandam, these verses, we must keep this in our mind, what will bring us realization. What will exactly bring us realization? Yadhartyal tanmayasevhi mamana vibho vastudo bandha mokshaum. In reality, Krishna is saying that yadhartyam. In reality, vastudo bandha mokshaum, that bandham and moksham are not real. Bandham and moksham are not real. Swapna bhod obha mautom. That in swapnam and bhodam, when we have come from dream state to the wakened state, we saw that the swapnam state, that the swapnam state was a dream for us. But strictly speaking, the vacant state is also, in reality, is not a real thing. That's what Krishna has spoken here. Maya vidyam tanubhyam tavadu virajidau svapna bhod opamautau. Maya vidyam tanubhyam. Maya has created these two. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, three states of existence, they are also products of Maya, isn't it? Maya vidyam tanubhyam tavatu virajitau. They created this. What is that? Swapna bhodo bhamauto. Swapnam and Jagrat. They have also come from Maya. Baddhe jivad vimuktim gadavadi chapida tavadi tavadego. Baddhe jivad vimuktim. When he gets released from this bondage, Baddham and Mukti, the two stages, conditioned state and the liberated state, is also like that. Conditioned state and liberated state is also like that. Why? Bhunte dehadrumastom. That when he is inside the body, dehadrumastha, while he is within the body, he is enjoying the fruits of this material life, material nature. He is enjoying the material life. Bhunte dehadrumastho. Vishaya bhalarasan na paro nurvyathalpa. Vishaya bhalarasa. That means he is executing his activities in this world, executing karma, in other words, engaged in sense gratification. And the result of that, vishaya bhalarasam. That means the result of his activities enjoying bhunte. He is experiencing it. And at that time he is conditioned. Na paro nurvyathalpa. When he is not doing that, he is not experiencing anymore the results of his activities here. He is liberated. He is not affected by it anymore. Na bharo nurvyathalma. So, yadhartyal tunmaye sevahina mama vibho vastu do bandha moksho. So, bandham and moksham, bondage and liberation is also like this. That so long as he is trapped in the material energy, and so long as he is carried away by the happiness of the material world or distress of the material world, and he is an active member, he is actively engaged in material activities, he must experience bondage. When he has withdrawn from the material life completely, and he has freed himself from the effects of material world, then he is liberated. That means his activities are pure. He is not affected by any more the ownership of I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. This thing has gone away from him. Krishna calls it as the liberated state, mukti. So, bandham and muktam, as far as Krishna is concerned, is like that. So, here, something important to understand, that the jivan mukta state, what they call it as the liberated state while within the body, although it is spoken, jivan muktattvam evam idham idi vachane kim bhalam. What is the point in talking about liberated state while within this body? So, devotee's approach is like that. He says to Krishna, it's very nice what you have spoken in Ekadasha Skandam. It's very beautiful. That you are liberated once you realize this. You are Jivan Mukta. You are liberated there. Isn't it? Krishna says that. You are liberated. But, Jivan Mukta Tvam Evam Idhamidi Vachane Kim Bhalam. What is the use of saying all this? What's the use of saying all this? Dure dure tannama ashubuddhem. That these things, what is spoken here, is far away from us. What Krishna has spoken here is far away from us. That because unless one's consciousness is pure, all these realizations won't mean anything. This is not going to happen. That's what he's saying here. Tannama ashubuddher na jalukhumanasa shodhanam bhakti donyal. What we have to pray to Krishna is to give us that devotion that will purify our consciousness. Krishna consciousness means Krishna bhakti, bhakti to Krishna. So Krishna bhakti purifies our consciousness and we become Krishna conscious. It says there, naja lekhu manasa shodhanam bhakti doinyal. If that purity has to happen first inside, when the consciousness is purified, at that time we can talk about all these things, jivan mukta state or liberated state. Otherwise, till then, it is not going to happen. It is not going to happen. Tanme Vishnu Krishishta Stoi Krita Sagala Prapanam Bhakti Bharam. Tanme Vishnu Krishishta Stoi Krita Sagalam Prapanam Bhakti Bharam. Therefore, our prayers to Krishna is to give us that devotion to Him, whereby we become strong devotees. By becoming a strong devotee, when the devotional mood develops inside very strongly, Tanme Vishnu Krishishta Toi Krita Sagalam Prapanam Bhakti Bharam, that when devotion builds up in the heart, what happens? We hands over everything to Krishna. That is what happens to a devotee, isn't it? That is devotion. Devotion means one is able to hand over everything to Krishna. He does not anymore think himself, his independence is important. So long as this surrender does not happen, the purification of consciousness also doesn't happen. That's why it said here, Tanme Vishnu Krishishta Toi Krita Sagalam Prapanam Bhakti Bharam Yenasyal Mangshu Kinjil Guru Vajana Milal Tulprabhoda Tudalma. That what will happen is, Yenasyal Mangshu Kinjil, that when one has come to that state of consciousness, if he is properly guided through, by a realized soul as a spiritual master, who is a realized soul, if his instructions comes to him at that point, then yenasya mangshu kinchil guru vajanam ilam tulpadhoda prabodham todalma, that at that point what will happen to him is tulprabodha todalma, all what Krishna has spoken in the Ekadasha Skandham will make some sense to him. He will become one with that knowledge. In other words, at what stage? When all these things have happened. Not before than that. It's not going to happen before than this. That's what he is saying here. Jivan muktattvam evam vidhamidiva jasa kim bhalam. What is the point in talking about liberation at this stage? Jivan mukti or liberation within this body itself. What's the point? He says, dura dure, they are so far away for us. Tannama ashuddha buddher, najalekhu manasa shodhanam bhakti donyal. Only by proper execution of Krishna consciousness, bhakti, that purified consciousness will happen first of all. Purification of one's own consciousness will happen. Up to that point, all these things are topics far away for us to talk about, to discuss about. Tanme Vishnu Krishishta Stoi Krita Sagalam Prarpanam Bhakti Bharam. When pure devotion in the heart develops by Krishna's mercy, if that happens, when we are released from our prarabdham, when by Krishna's mercy proper devotion and willingness to surrender to Krishna develops within that, at that point he says here, Tanme Vishnu Krishishta Stoi Krita Sagalam. Everything will be done in order to please Krishna at that time. There is no separate happiness, separate activities for one's own individual happiness. The whole life is for Krishna. Everything is done on that level, on that consciousness. Tanme Vishnu Krishishta Soi Krita Sakalam Prarpanam Bhakti Bharam. That bhakti, devotion is so strong inside. Bhakti Bharam, he says, it's so heavily embedded inside. That mangshum ye nafsyal mangshu king chil guru vajanam elam tulpadhoda pralprabhoda todalma. That ye nafsyal mangshu king chil, at that time this wavering all goes away. Not only that, whatever the spiritual master, who is the pure realized soul, whatever he has spoken to him will manifest in that person. Ye nasyal mangshu kinjil guru vajanam ilam tul prabhoda tvadalma. And it is at that point what Krishna has spoken of realization, that whom I am as the soul will come to him. Not before than that. So, in Ekadasha Skandham, all these big statements, when we read, we should not get worried over it. Oh, I have not got there yet. When am I going to get there? This worry should not come, because it has no meaning. If we recognize the fact that we are conditioned very much in the bodily concept of life, we are not even escaped from that. We are not even come to the jiva platform. What to talk about to come to the platform of the soul is Atma. That comes much later. But as much as we execute our spiritual life through the process of sadhana, we'll see that this change is bound to happen on a gradual level. On a gradual level. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. So when Uddhava asked this question to Krishna, that is it possible under the three modes of material nature to stay within this body and to feel liberated both? Krishna said yes and Krishna said no. That was Krishna's answer. It is from this answer these all the three different philosophies came. Advaitam, Vishishtadvaitam and Dvaitam. All three have come from this. Because the answer is like that, yes and no. So, in the early times, as we saw before, that they only through examples these things are understood. A river can stay as a river, but then it cannot merge with the ocean. It has to stay as a river. Once it merges with the ocean, it has a problem. It's not a river anymore, isn't it? It's not a river anymore. Similarly, we can say so many things. What are they? That, say for example, we sometimes say like this, that, he is a spiritually advanced person. Someone is spiritually advanced. So his body is also very pure, isn't it? His body is also very pure. We say that the material body is also spiritual. Sometimes all these kinds of discussions happen. It is because of this that you will see throughout the history, sometimes some great Mahatmas came here. And when the Mahatmas die, when they leave this world, the disciples try to keep that body, saying that, his body is very important, very spiritual body it is. We should preserve this body somehow. They say like that, isn't it? And they use some chemicals or different kinds of creams and ointments and whatever that is they use. They try to retain that body for a long period of time. But eventually, they also recognize this truth that this material body, you cannot maintain it forever. It is not possible. Material body can never be maintained under any circumstances. You cannot do that. The proof is that even the great Mahatma's body, if you keep it for a few days, it will start rotting. And the foul smell will start coming from that body. There is no doubt about that. There is no doubt about that. It will come from that body. Sometimes, what some people do, some great yogis, who have got, due to yogic practices, they are able to extend their lifespan for a longer period of time. You see in the history, especially in the Himalayas, there are yogis. Prabhupada also mentions who are capable of extending their bodily existence for a longer period of time due to yogic practices, Ashtanga Yoga system. That so either way do it, but they also have to die one day. Body will not remain forever. There is an absolute truth that this body cannot stay forever. This body will drop one day. It's not possible to keep this body forever. This can never be in a perfect situation. And because the body is like that, Krishna is saying there that while within this body, it is not possible to attain perfection. It's not possible to achieve perfection in this body. That is one statement from Krishna. Krishna's point is that so long as I am thinking I am this body, this body is mine and this body is meant for my usage or for me to use it. If I have this understanding, I am bound here. I am still in the bondage state. It is not possible to come out of this. When one has come out of this, I am not this body, and this body is not meant for me. I am not this body. This body is not mine. And this body is not meant for my usage. Three things. I am not this body. And this body is not mine. And this body is not meant for my usage. If I am freed from all these three different concepts, then the body is not yours anymore. So you are not in the body anymore. But so long as even a trace of this understanding is not exist inside, that I am this body or body is mine and body is meant for usage, then you are still very much within the body. And Krishna is saying here that one who has released from this understanding, then he can see that birth and death are in relationship with the body. Up to that point he won't know it. It's an interesting question comes here. I'll tell you why. If you read Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter, Krishna says there, Na jayade mriyade va kadajil nayam bhutva bhavido vanabhuya ajaha nityaha shashvadaha puranaha ajo nityam shashvadoyam puranam na hanyade hanyamane sharire. Krishna says there, isn't it? So there Krishna says there that ajo nityam shashvadoyam puranam na jayate, he doesn't take birth, na mriyate, he doesn't die, va kadajal nayam bhutva bhavido vana bhuya, and he always existed, ajaha nityaha, permanent is shashvada, eternal is puranaha, is the most ancient thing. Na hanyade hanyamane sharire, even if you kill him, he doesn't die. That's how it is spoken in the second chapter. And these verses come from Katopanishad. Katopanishad verse Krishna has taken and put in the Bhagavad Gita. So, there Krishna spoke about us like that, isn't it? Nahanyade hanyamane sharire. If it is like that, who has got this bondage? And who has got the liberation? That question comes automatically, isn't it? Who has got the birth? Who has got the death? Who has got material existence? Samsara, material existence. Who is experiencing all these things? We should not answer this question. Why? We have to keep asking this question all the time. If you keep asking this question all the time, then who is going to the next body? You should not answer the question. And then the moment you answer the question, what will happen is, you know what will happen? Immediately the false ego will come out. But if you keep on asking this question to yourself, who is moving from this body to another? Who is transmigrating from this body to another body? Who is experiencing death? Who is experiencing birth? Who is experiencing material existence? These are questions we have to keep asking ourselves all the time. If we keep asking ourselves this question all the time, then you will notice one day that this identity with the body will go from us. Because every time you ask the question, you have the answer there. But you should not answer that question. If you answer the question, oh, that's the soul, it's finished. That's the soul, it's finished. Then you'll come back to the bodily identity again. So Krishna's point here is that in order to come to that realization of na jayade mriyade va kadajal nayam bhutva bhavido vana bhuya ajo nityam shashvadoyam puranam na hanyade hanyamane sharire, that when body is killed, I am not killed. When I am leaving this body, and another body comes, it is not for me. It comes separately. That something else is happening. That this is what Krishna is driving on into your head in the second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna spoke about na hanyade hanyamane sharire. Then when do you realize this? If you keep asking this question, one day you will realize the person whom we are talking about doesn't really exist. Up to this point you are thinking that you are asking this question all the time. Who is changing the body? Who is dying? Who is taking birth? Isn't it? Who is taking birth? Krishna has already said in the second chapter that these things doesn't happen to us. In the Ekadasha Skandham, Krishna is again saying there, it is not a reality. Body is not a reality. So having heard from Bhagavad Gita and from Srimad Bhagavatam, at least we should now ask this question ourselves, again, again and again, who is changing the body? Who is changing the body? If you keep on asking this question, Krishna is saying here that who is experiencing another birth or the conditioning or the material existence, that who is going through all these things, we will realize one day that person doesn't exist. That person doesn't exist. It is something very interesting, isn't it? Because when did this happen? This happened with the false ego, isn't it? So when the false ego gets completely dissolved, when the false ego gets completely dissolved, because the moment you answer the question, the false ego comes up. That's when the false ego comes up. But you keep on asking the question, in that consciousness if you stay, the false ego will not rise inside. Because at that point, you know very well that who is happening, for whom is this happening, that who is changing the body. At that time in your inside you know it is only the body. Krishna has answered that question already, isn't it? So, the moment you forget him, that immediately the false ego will take birth. He will take birth. That person will take birth, and that is when false ego comes out. So at that point you won't know that you're not even conscious of all these things, isn't it? When we are not conscious of this, we are not conscious of the false ego's birth, the birth of the false ego. It is this thing called false ego, or jiva, or sutralma, whatever we call it, it is the same thing. It is addressed in different ways, that's all. When we call it as false ego, when we call it as jiva, when you call it as sutralma, it's another word used in the Bhagavatam in some places. It's all one and the same thing. It's all one and the same thing. But when does he take birth? That's what you have to look at. When you are constantly experiencing the material miseries and thinking that, oh, I am suffering, I am experiencing happiness, I have to change my body, I have to accept another body. If you are keep on thinking like this, you will identify with this all the time and you will completely get controlled by that thought. On the other hand, if you develop this thinking that who is changing and who, for whom is this, according to Krishna's words here, that for who is experiencing all these things, you have to keep on asking that question to yourself. And who is going to the next body, and who is experiencing the material relationships, and who is experiencing distress in this world, you will realize that that person doesn't exist. That person doesn't exist. It is from the Anandada. Anandada means that a vast thing, that this small thing has taken birth. How did this false ego take birth? False ego took birth from something, isn't it? From somewhere the birth has happened to this false ego. So you will notice that the false ego has happened at some point. So while within this body, Krishna says here that it's also another word used as Jadagrandhi, isn't it? In the Malsivaranam and in the eighth canto, where he spoke about the Chijadagrandhi. That's another word used. Sutralma, Chijadagrandhi, all these are different nomenclature for the same thing. False ego, everything. It refers to the same. That so when we realize that while being within this body, it is this thing that is leaving this body and going into another body. While being within this body, it is this thing that is leaving this body and moving to another body. If you are able to kill that thing while being within this body, you are liberated. You are released from the bondage. That is what called moksha or liberation. While being within this body, while we are living here, while living here within this body, if we know that this person who leaves this body and goes to another body, if we kill him while we are within this body, he does not take another birth again. Is that point clear or not?
Yes.
What I am talking about? While remaining within this body, if you are able to recognize that who is doing this, that question you have to keep asking all the time. Who is changing the body? And the moment you answer that, it is ahankaram has come, false ego has come to us. We are thinking that I am that. You identify with that false ego. Therefore, you don't have to find an answer. You have to keep asking yourself. If you keep asking in that way, one day you will realize that that person really doesn't exist. It is only the false ego. Identification with the false ego was talking as me and mine all the time throughout life. Whole life, we identified with the body, identified with a particular name, identified with a nationality, identified with the society, with the family. All these identifications came after the identification with the false ego. So this false ego was born first, and if we understand that, and it is this false ego which are known in different names in Shastram as Jiva, Sutralpa, Chijada Granthi, Ahangaram, all these are different names given to it for the same thing. It is the same thing that takes birth at some particular point. So if it dies before we leave this body, if it dies while being within this body, before we leave this body, if that person dies while we are within this body, we don't have to accept another body again. With that, it is business is over. This is the important point Krishna is making here. When you go through Krishna's verses in the Ekadasi Skandam, you will notice this important point stressed very strongly. That is why Krishna is saying, bondage and liberation can happen here also. From Krishna's point of view, that's why he said yes and no. Yes means this, that if you succeed in killing that false ego while within this body, then automatically, that will of course come from Krishna consciousness, not otherwise. If the Krishna consciousness is perfect and the purification is perfect, that false ego will once for all leave a person. Like in the case of great Goswamis, they had not false ego anymore. So they were liberated while within this body. But on the other hand, it can also happen, it is impossible to happen here. That's why Krishna says yes and no. That those who are thinking they cannot do it here, at least at the time of death, if they remember Krishna, and by Krishna's mercy comes to them, at the last minute, they can also escape. So either way you can escape. It is possible, yes, while within the body, and it's also not possible while within the body. That's the point Krishna's making there. So, Uddhava was asking this question, that the body, while conditioned within this body, is it possible to stay liberated? And Krishna's answer was yes and no. The way the jnanis execute this is that they keep constantly alert on this all the time, 24 hours and throughout life. They stay in this consciousness. Not allow the false ego to wake up. Always keeping an eye. Just like there is a thief inside the house. Suppose there is a thief inside the house. Everybody wakes up to catch the thief, isn't it? Similarly, catching that thief is a difficult process. Once it so happened, a thief entered a house. When the thief entered the house, all the people recognized there is a thief. And they started shouting, thief, 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 everywhere. So the police also came to catch the thief. They couldn't find the thief. So thief realized that he is going to get caught in the process. So he thought a clever idea. He also started shouting, thief, 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 everywhere. Isn't it? So when he started shouting, looking for the thief, nobody could find the thief. And this false ego is like that within us. You can't catch him. Because he is also doing the same thing with us. He is playing the same game with us. So no matter how hard you try, you can't get him. He is always escaping from your... You can try to catch him, but you won't find him. The moment you try to catch him, you will escape from your from your control. So, ahankaram, false ego, that is the beauty of this false ego. Then, the moment you try to, some moment you will think in your, one of your nice moods, oh, I'll be very humble from now on. I'll be very surrendered to my spiritual master who is a pure devotee, who is always helping me. So many things you will think. The very next moment, the mind will take you in another direction. By then you'll think, oh, hell with all these things. Nothing is working. It's completely cheating. All these kind of things will come. The very next moment such thoughts can come. So that's why in spiritual life, what did Kathamanishad says about that? Churasya thara nishidam durateya durgam balastat kavayo vadandi uttishtada jagrada prapyamran nibhodadam. In the Kathamanishad, Yamaraj says to Nachiketas like this, uttishtada, wake up, and then jagrada, always be alert. Prapyavaran nibhodada, know your true self, what it is, and what else? Churasya dhara nishidam duratyaya, you know the knife of the barber, how sharp it is before he starts shaving. On that sharp knife, if you start walking on that, how difficult it is. That is how spiritual life is. Churasya dhara nishidam duratyaya durgam balastat kavayo vadandi. Realize the soul says that. That's how difficult it is to stay in that consciousness of always watching the false ego. But that is for the jnanis. For the devotees, if the surrender is good, if he is properly surrendered to Krishna, this can happen easily with Krishna's mercy. That is the difference between a jnani and a bhakta. Bhakta achieves by his surrender to Krishna. Krishna takes care of everything. We don't have to specific, but surrender has to be there. Surrender has to be there. Without surrender, nothing will happen. And surrender has to happen. And there is no substitute for that. There is no substitute. Bhakti means nothing but sharanagati, surrendering to Krishna. That is bhakti. So, in this particular way, when it is spoken in the Bhagavatam, you must remember that the process and the goal is very much similar. The goal is the same, to get liberated from this material existence. Devotee also prays for that. Devotee automatically acquires that, achieves that state. Jnani also come to that state, but jnani, through the cultivation of knowledge and constantly keeping alert himself, he comes to this realization in due course. Then he will not allow the false ego. He becomes one with the truth, and he sheds his material body here and goes back to the spiritual world. The devotee, because of his purity and complete and total surrender to Krishna, Krishna out of his causeless mercy picks the devotee up from his material existence and releases him from here to the back to the spiritual world. So either way, we are still the spiritual life is worthwhile. So, having said that, it is no use if we speak, as I said, all these things in words. We also have to know that this particular, the process, what happens is to us, that the false ego that we have identified with is the one that is causing these problems. And it says here, when we come to that platform, you will see Krishna properly. We discussed this earlier. If you look into the third chapter, verse 40, in Canto 11. If you remember, in Canto 11, verse chapter 3, verse 40. Yarhyabjana abacharanayishana yoru bhaktyam chedo malani vidhamed gunakarma jani tasmin vishuddhamu balabhyanam almanatvam sakshad yada amaladrisho savidra prakashah. Then, that is the verse spoken by the spoken by whom? By Pipalayana Maharshi. Pipalayana Maharshi spoke about Krishna, and he said that if you are experiencing the spiritual reality in deep sleep, how come we fall into material existence again? That question came there. And at what stage this avidya or ignorance will completely get destroyed and one will come to the platform of the soul? This question was asked by King Mini. And it was answered by the great personality Pipalayana Maharshi. Pipalayana said there, Yarhyabjanavacharane Shanayoru Bhaktiya, that Gunakarmajani Chedomalani Yarhi Vidamed, that when one engages in Krishna service, and due to the increased degree of devotion in him, when all his karma is completely purified and the mind is pure, at that point in time, that how normally the eyes of a person who has got cataract, while being treated, it gets cleared up and he can see things in the perfect sunlight. Similarly, what will happen to him is that he will see the soul exactly in the same way. Chedomalani vidhamen gunakarma jani tasmin vishuddha upalabhyanam almadatvam sakshadhyadho amaladrisho savidra prakashaham. Then, just like when the cataract goes away from a person, not a new sun appears there, the sun who was already present there, but his vision is cleared up. The cloud, what he was experiencing before, just like before cataract operation, you have a blur in your vision. Even while looking at the sun, you feel that blur in front of your eyes. But due to the cataract operation, the blur goes away. And then you see the sun very clearly. The same thing happens here, that due to Krishna consciousness or executing Krishna consciousness, bhakti, what will happen is that he will get purified from all the contamination in the consciousness, and at that point in time, he sees the soul perfectly. He sees the soul perfectly. Otherwise, this is not going to happen. So that is what was spoken there in the third chapter. And that is what is known as the self-realization, when one realizes in that way. Now, in order to explain this in detail, Krishna has taken two verses from now. After we have seen before that also vidya vidye mamadanu vidyuddhava sharirinam moksha bandhagari madhe mayayame vinirmide, Krishna said, isn't it? Vidya and avidya, he spoke about that. Then he said, egasseva mamamshasya jivasseva mahamade bandhosya vidhya anadir vidhyaja tathedara. There Krishna spoke about relationship of how the soul has developed within the body and his relationship with the amsham and amshi bhavam. That means Krishna and the soul. Krishna's relationship with the living entity. That's what we discussed that before, isn't it? That the reflection of the moon in the water. Similarly, Krishna's reflecting within the andhakaranam, within the chittam. That is how the false ego developed from there. Avidya covered that. And from the causal body or karana shariram, it started growing up with avidya. And it entered into sushma shariram, the mind joined. And from sushma shariram, it came to the gross body or to the stula shariram. And in the stula shariram, it acquired the senses and the complete gross body. So from a causal body or karana shariram, it came to sushma shariram, and sushma shariram to stula shariram. In three stages, we came to a perfect condition in the material life, now what we are today. So, having spoken about, that's what Krishna has talked about in that verse. Egasseva mamamshasya jivasseva mahamade bendhosya vidhya anadar vidhyaja tathetaram. That we have seen. Then, after saying this, Krishna says here, after bandham and moksham, bondage and liberation was discussed, and then he says there is difference between the two, and one difference between the conditioned soul and Krishna. So conditioned soul and Krishna. So first Krishna wants to talk about that, jiva and Ishvara, jiveshvara vailakshanyam. That is what it is called. Vailakshanyam means the difference between jiva and Krishna, between the conditioned soul and the super soul. That difference is discussed in the next two verses. Prior to that, he says here, adabhadhasya muktasya vailakshanyam vadamide virudha dharmano stada sthidayor ega dharmini. In that verse, Krishna is saying, adabhadhasya muktasya. Hey Tada, my dear son, that's how Krishna is addressing Uddhava. Virudha dharmino ega dharmini sthidayo. Virudha dharmini. Virudha dharmini means opposing dharmam. Opposing dharmam. that they are both present in the same body, who the individual soul and the super soul, they are present in the same body, but their activities are different. One is, and their conditioning and their situation is also different. One is eternally conditioned and the other one is eternally liberated. That is what is spoken there. One is eternally conditioned and the other one is eternally liberated. So I will explain to you, Krishna says to Uddhava, the difference between Jiva and Ishvara, that Vailakshanyam, that difference I will now explain to you. Krishna says there, Ega Dharmini, they are staying within one body, but Viruddha Dharmam also. They also have opposing activities. What is that opposing activities? That's what is coming now in the next two verses. Suparna Vedau Sadrishau Sakhayau Yadrachayedau Kradani Daujavrakshem Egastayo Khadadi Pipalanam Anyo Niranno Bibalena Bhuyan Almanam Anyam Jasaveda Vidwan Sabipa Avipalado Nadu Vipalada Yo Avidya Yuksadu Nityabadho Vidyadayo Yasadu Nityamuktam. Two verses. This is actually the story of the two birds we spoke about before, isn't it? There we have seen Suparna Vedo Sadrasho Sakhayam, that there are two birds in one tree. Earlier there was only one bird on the tree. There is only one bird on the tree. Little by little, from that one bird, another form came out. Another bird came out. And when this bird came out, from the first bird, the second bird has come out. That that this is what we call as Chaya. If you remember Chaya and Suvarchala, the two wives of the sun, we discussed about that. The Chaya, that bird has come, is a Chaya. It's a reflection of the, from the original sun, it has come out. That, and that when that comes out, when he saw that there were so many fruits in that tree, there were so many fruits in the tree. And when he saw those fruits, first he was sitting in the same, in the same, from the original bird, the second bird came out and stood, sat on another branch. So on two branches, two birds are sitting. The first bird is sitting quietly, unaffected by anything. All the fruits were there in the tree. It didn't bother to taste the fruit or to go after the fruits. The second bird, which came out from the first bird, which is sitting on another branch, he saw one fruit on another branch which is lower than that. So it jumped from this branch to the next branch and it bit that fruit. When it has bitten that fruit, it found the fruit was very sweet. So when he found that the fruit was sweet, what did the bird do? He jumped on to the next one. So when he jumped on to the next fruit, he bit that also, he found it sweet again. So few times he experienced this sweetness. That as it was experiencing the sweetness, it kept on jumping from one branch to another and kept on eating the fruit. But in the meanwhile, what happened was, suddenly he bit one fruit and it was very bitter. The fruit was very bitter. When the fruit was very bitter, immediately it got a bit upset. Upset stomach or what, whatever you call it. It got upset and it started looking towards the other bird. Up to that time he didn't look at the bird. Up to this point he never looked at the bird. He kept on eating the fruits, and every time he was eating the fruit, he was jumping from one branch to another branch, to lower and lower. The two birds were sitting on the top two branches first. But it came coming down by eating these fruits, it came down. And it came down to such a level that whenever it became bitter, sometimes he experienced a few fruits in that way, it was getting better and better. Bitter and bitter. So at that time, that he stopped eating them. And whenever the fruit was bitter, he will look back to the other bird. And for some time, he will not go after another fruit. He will stop there. But at some point in time, he started finding a lot of bitter fruits all around. All around, a lot of bitter fruits. So when he started getting a lot of bitter fruits, he started merely looking at the other bird which was sitting on the top of the tree. I think you follow the story, don't you?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. So, this is Jushtam Yadha Pashyadi. Mundaka Upanishad talks about this. It is, this story is in the Vedas. This story is in the Upanishads as well. And it is this story that has come to Bible also. The story of Adam and Hawa, all the Adam and Eve, that story is nothing but this story, but spoken in the particular circumstances where it was spoken. But the story's origin is from Upanishads. The origin of the story is from Upanishads. And it is also pointing out to us one important point there, that every time when it gets bitten, when it bites a sour fruit or a bitter fruit, it will go up two steps backwards. Whenever it gets a sweeter fruit, it goes down two steps. So in other words, this is one of the way Krishna has created us, that the Subarna Vedo Sadrashav Sakhayo Edrachayedo Kritanidauja Vrikshay Egastayo Khadadi Pippalan and Anyo Nirannobi Balena Bhuyan. Krishna is saying there that Egastayo Khadadi Pippalanam, one bird is constantly eating the fruit, the other bird by nature is not touching any fruit. He's not touching any fruit. He is completely detached to everything. He is completely detached to everything. But this bird wants to enjoy. Wants to enjoy, but after a while start getting some distress also. And when the distress gets very strong, then he wants to go back to he doesn't really cultivate that desire strongly, but at least he start looking towards the other bird. And this is how people come to spiritual life. To tell the truth. Only when nobody comes to this world, suppose everything is going wonderfully in this world, you think you will look to the other bird anytime? We will not look at the other bird. We'll be looking where is more fruits, sweeter fruits to enjoy. It's only because of these bitter fruits that our mind starts looking inwards. A little bit thoughts comes to us to inquire about the truth, about Krishna. Krishna is sitting there as the bird on the top. And the other bird, which has been jumping from one branch to another, is the jiva or the conditioned soul. So, on the same tree they are sitting, but in two different activities they are engaged. Krishna says here that when does this happen? It is only when we bite a lot of these bitter fruits, only when our teeth gets a bit sour and we start pulling our face because of the bitterness. That is when, by good fortune, if one comes to hear from Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, or one who sees a person who has already released himself after having eaten a lot of these bitter fruits and has stopped eating the bitter fruits, he is a jnani. One who has stopped eating these bitter fruits, he is a jnani or a great devotee. He stopped completely. He doesn't want to eat these fruits anymore. He had enough of it. So when he sees such a person, or when he hears about it from Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, it is at that time his spiritual life begins. Spiritual life begins at that point. That is what he says here. Almanamanyam jasaveda vidwal apipalado nadupipaladam yo avidyaya yuk sadunitya baddho vidyamayo yas sadunitya muktaham. That ignorance was in that person, the jiva, for a very, very long time, and he is eternally conditioned. And the other bird, who never tried to eat any fruits, he is always liberated. That he will never experience this desire, what he has got, the other one has got. So therefore he says here, that the bird which was sitting at the bottom, he carries on investigating. And at some point in time, when he meets someone who is not eating the fruit, who is not engaged in any of these transactions, and at that time he realizes that there are persons who do not experience the happiness and distress of this world. When he sees that, he will get it from satsangam or association with devotees. That he first started withdrawing himself from the external world. Initially, he has to come out from the vision outside and by him, external thing, he has to come out and has to started looking inwards. Then first time he will see all these things in the form of great Mahatmas, Mahatma, great personalities. Then when we see them, what will happen is we will start remembering about the truth little by little. It is at that time, in their presence, in their association, what normally happens is we forget about all our distress and miseries and happiness, everything. We get closer to the truth simply by their presence, not by any other discussion. Simply by their presence, one experiences that. That is what he said there. Abhipalado nadu vipaladam. That how, what do they do? They are a witness to everything in this world. They don't do anything with the desire for enjoyment or desire for suffering. They are simply engaged in activities and pleasing Krishna because they have already come to that platform. That is why it said there, Yo avidyaya yuk sadhu nitya baddho vidyamayo yas sadhu nitya muktaha. That the person, the one conditioned soul, he is avidya. He is in avidya, in ignorance. So he is nitya baddha. He appears to be eternally conditioned. And vidyamayo yas sadhu nitya mukta. One who has got the vidya, or one who has released from this vidyamayam, he is full of vidya and he is eternally liberated. Krishna says there that he is only a witness for everything. Then this false ego, which has not gone away from him, that is the nature of the conditioned soul, the false ego inside him. And that is continuously binding us to the material world. And those both the things are in the same place. The moment you identify with the body, the mind and the intellect, you are bound. That is the test. The moment we identify with the body, the mind and the intellect, you are bound. Because the false ego is there when these things are there. These things have come because the false ego is there. The false ego isn't there, identification with the body won't be there, identification with the mind won't be there, identification with the intelligence won't be there. The moment you disassociate from that center, you are free. Once you have disassociated from that, you are free. Vidyamayo sadhu nityamuktam. This, if you can look into your own life, you will see that as long as we are trying to experience material happiness, we will forget the soul. We will forget the soul. When we experience distress in this world, even if you don't remember the soul, Atma, when we are experiencing distress in this world, even if you don't remember the Atma, at least our tendency will change. Tendency for enjoyment will go. And this is that means the tendency for eating the bitter fruit will go away from that. The way to shift our attention from the world outside to inwards will begin at that point. As long as this story is telling us, as long as we are finding the fruits sweeter, we will continue our endeavor to enjoy the fruits here. Krishna says this in the Bhagavadam in a different way at a different place. In the 10th canto, if you look, you will find there Krishna spoke about this, that if you are getting bitter fruits in this world, Krishna says, the bird is getting closer to me. The bird is getting closer and closer to me. That is how Krishna explains there. Every time he eats the bitter fruit, the bird will tend to start coming up towards the other bird from where he came out. The moment he starts getting a mixture of both, he will go up and down all the time. But Krishna says there, if I decide to free one person, one soul from this conditioned state, I give him a lot of bitter fruits first. Because when he starts eating these bitter fruits, his tendency to enjoy these fruits will go away from him. Tendency to enjoy the fruits will go away from him. And this is how Krishna brings a devotee or a jnani back to him. Jnani also come to him in the same way, or a devotee. Every great devotee or a jnani, if you look into their life, you will see they have eaten a lot of bitter fruits in their life. They have eaten a lot of bitter fruits in their life. Krishna puts it in this way. Yasya aham anugrihnami harishe tadhanam shanai. Harishe tadhanam shanai. Tado adanam tejandasya swajanal dukkha dukhidaha. Krishna says this in the Bhagavatam. Yasya aham anugrihnami. If I want to give my mercy to someone, harishe tadhanam shanai. First thing what I do is I take away all his material happiness and material comforts from him. It doesn't work the other way. Some people are thinking that if I'm making a lot of money in this world, definitely Krishna is pleased with me. That's why he's giving me. It's exactly the opposite in Srimad Bhagavatam mentioned. When there is too much material happiness coming, you can take it. Krishna is not in a very helpful situation. Yasya aham anugrihnami harishe tadhanam shanai. So once somebody hears this, do you think he'll become a devotee? He will say, well, this is it. I don't need a contract like this. This is not very nice contract. I was looking for so many different things. I thought Krishna is going to help me in my projects. But here Krishna's statement is a little bit controversial. Yasya aham anugrihnami. If I really want to give my mercy to someone, Krishna says, harishe tadhanam shanai. All that, his material opulences and material comforts and material life, everything I'll destroy it first. That tadhodhanam tejandasya. Once you have lost all that, you will see your so-called friends and relatives where they stand. Because if, so long as the wealth is there, the relatives will be there, the friends will be there. Oh, they'll invite you for a birthday parties and marriages and shraddha ceremony. What not? They'll keep you busy in this world with their projects. The moment harishe tadhanam shanai, when the money has gone, everything has gone from this, the very so-called relatives and friends and others, they will not be very interested to invite you for their birthday party. There won't be any more birthday party after that. Or no marriages after that. They may even forget you to invite for the marriage. They don't want you there. Harishe tadhanam shanai. Tadhodhanam tejandasya. At that point what will happen is, Krishna says, Sojanal dukkha dukhidaha. Then all your relatives and friends will leave you. And you will feel totally helpless in this world. That is when you surrender to Krishna. Up to that point it's not going to happen. So please don't try to study all this theory and ask me why we are not getting Krishna's mercy. Because this stage hasn't come yet. Yasya aham anugrihnami harishe tadhanam shanai tadhodhanam tejandasya sojanal dukkha dukhidaha. Dukkha dukhidaha. In other words, what he means is, he has not only dukkham to such a degree that because of dukkham he is such a dukhi. Dukkha dukhida. He is so strongly connected by the Krishna's, but Krishna's mercy is flowing to him in abundance at that time. Only then Ekadasha Skandam will make any sense to him. Up to that time he will think it's all boring. Completely bore this Krishna's words. But you have to come through these stages to come to this understanding. To listen to Ekadasham and to take it seriously, you have to go through all these difficulties in life. Till that time, we will have to wait. There's nothing we can do about it. But intelligence says to us, not to become that bird continuously trying to eat the fruits. That is intelligence. And as much as when the bird experiences these fruits, these bitter fruits for a very long period of time, he gives up eating the fruits first. That's the first thing. That is the stage of Vairagyam. Vairagyam comes at that stage. When the Vairagyam comes, he is ready for the knowledge. It is then that knowledge starts working. So when the knowledge starts working, the bird starts getting closer and closer and closer to the original bird where he came out. Eventually, as he gets closer to the original bird, he becomes the same effulgence. What was in the original state starts happening to him as well, to this bird which has come out from there. As soon as he came out and started eating the fruits and started jumping from one branch to another, his color started fading. His color also started fading. But as soon as he came back to the original bird closer, the original consciousness or Krishna consciousness has become full, and therefore his color also has changed. The golden color of the original bird started coming to him now. That's what Krishna is saying here, that Atmanamanyam jasa veda vidvan abhipalado nadu vipaladaham yo avidyaya yuk sadu nityabadho vidyamayo yas sadu nityamuktaham. Only by this realization, this knowledge, that we will not give up otherwise our attachment to the so-called material life or family life and so many social life and so many things what we have created for ourselves. One who is looking for spiritual perfection, he will free himself by knowledge as much to the extent possible and waiting for Krishna's mercy to come. So the person who makes this decision when to give this mercy to someone is Krishna. Krishna sees the person's qualification, whether he has cultivated that spiritual understanding of life, whether he has followed the route what Krishna has prescribed here, and is experiencing that Vairagyam in him. You can see, wow, Vairagyam is important in spiritual life. Without Vairagyam, Vairagyam is a key word for this knowledge and realization to come. Therefore, Krishna says here that that yasya aham anugrihnami harishe tadhanam shanai yat adodhanam tejandyasya swajana dukha dukhidaha. Dukha dukhina. From that extreme misery, he comes to his inward looking, he focuses his attention, shifts his attention from the world outside towards Krishna who is inside as the soul. So this long process of spiritual life requires commitment, requires strong commitment, complete dedication, constant reminder from within that what we are here for. If we are here for expanding our material life or expanding our social life or expanding our happiness in this world, Ekadasha Skandham is not for them. Ekadasha Skandham is for those who are serious about spiritual life, who mentioned as mentioned in the Bhagavatam, that constantly reading Ekadasham will remind us these things. Not to tejo tadodhanam tejandyasya so janal dukha dukhidaha, not to give undue importance to things which are not important in life. That is self-realization. The path, Nimadharma Raja says to Nachiketas when he spoke about this in the Kathopanishad, that he wanted to establish first, that Nachiketas was ready for it. He did not want to talk about it before that. He says to Nachiketas that a person who has developed a sufficient renunciation, detachment from material enjoyment is qualified for this. So here, in these two verses, Krishna has spoken, and it is after that Krishna spoke about the symptoms of a person who is liberated, which we spoke about before. What was that? Dehasto bina dehasto vidwan satnal yago thidaha adehasto bi dehasta kumadi satna gragyadaha. Remember this verse we spoke about before? Dehasto vina dehasta. He is within that body, but he is not within that body. He has already left that body. Dehasto bi na dehasta. Why? Vidwan sotnal yadothyadaha. Just like a person who has woke up from his dream and come to the vacant state, Similarly, a person who has realized the truth, dehastobi, although he is within that body, na dehasta. This is what Krishna was talking about before. It is possible in this body. Yes, he said. No, he said before. Yes, he said now. Dehastobi na dehas. It is possible. Vidwan sopnat yathotidaha. As much as he has come out from a dream to awakened state, similarly when he wakes up from avidya, from ignorant state, to the truth, to self-realized state, he is in that state. He says, adehastobina dehasta. Most people like us, he's talking about. We leave this body, adehastobi, feel we are within this body. The other way. Earlier, dehastobina dehasta. Although within the body, they have left the body. And there are others who, although they have left the body, still we want to come back to this body. Kumati, Krishna calls them as Kumati. Kumati means one whose intelligence is not very good. It's a bad intelligence. Sotnadrak yatha. Just like, then he still continues to carry on with his material life, life after life, and continues to suffer from that, life after life, and never gets liberated, and is eternally bound. So Krishna has briefly spoken about this, and now in the next many verses, Krishna will talk about the process. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Yeah.